May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Let's start things off this morning with a little exercise. Don't worry, you haven't mistakenly wandered into a yoga class. This is a mental exercise. I want you to imagine that I am holding religion in my right hand. Now, if you would be so kind, please consider this Phillips head screwdriver that is in my left hand. Religion, Phillips head screwdriver. The first thing to notice is that there is nothing in my right hand. Religion is not a thing. But the Phillips head screwdriver in my left hand is a thing. It is a physical object that I can hold in my hand. Even though this seems obvious enough, it's an important distinction. Religion does not have a physical reality like a Phillips head screwdriver. Sure, we have symbols like the cross and the Star of David and the crescent. And if you think about the crucifix, you think Christianity. And if you see a star and a crescent, you might think of Islam. And if you see the Star of David, you might think of Judaism. If I'd held up one of these things, you would have understood that it was a religious object. But still, these things symbolize religion. The Phillips head screwdriver does not symbolize a Phillips head screwdriver. It is a Phillips head screwdriver. The other day I was cleaning the kitchen. Well, every day I clean the kitchen, but the other day I was cleaning the kitchen and I filled the dishwasher with dishes. I put the dishwasher detergent into the dishwasher and I closed the dishwasher. Or rather, I tried to close the dishwasher. The dishwasher door did not want to close. I checked to see if there were any dishes or silverware that was in the way, and there was no dish or silverware getting in the way. I tried to close the dishwasher again. No dice. After a good deal of head scratching and some neck craning, I discovered the problem. The dishwasher itself was secured to the kitchen counter by a few well-placed screws, one of which had worked its way loose enough to get in the way of the closing door. So, you guessed it, I went and got a Phillips head screwdriver and tightened the screw. The dishwasher door promptly complied with my wishes, closing with a satisfying thump. Who has not had this wonderful joy? Each of us, even me, has an inner engineer who feels a surge of exultation when the right tool is used at the right moment and everything comes true. You use it and boom, the job is done. Problem? Solution. Elegant. Sufficient. Human ingenuity serves us this kind of profound satisfaction. Every hardware store in town is a paradise of standardized specifications. Match the correct Phillips head screwdriver with the correct Phillips head screw and a little elbow grease added in, and you can cinch up the world. Watch it tighten up, become level and true. Voila! It is a beautiful thing. Let your mind wander up and away from the humble Phillips head screwdriver, and you quickly encounter other more sophisticated tools that automate, calculate, percolate, medicate, and illuminate. It's great. Technology itself is a pageant of standardized specifications. When things fit together well, they work well. Imagine if we humans all had Phillips heads. Wouldn't that be great? But we don't. Thank God. Thank God human beings are not manufactured according to standardized specifications. What is good for a screw and a screwdriver is decidedly not good for humans. Don't get close to me with your standardized specifications. It's true that a 3-inch Phillips head wood screw is a thing of beauty when it is matched with the right bit, and I challenge any 2-inch piece of wood to defy my desire to secure it to the wall. But all this elegance derives from a singularity of purpose. Screws and screwdrivers only do one thing, and one thing only. They secure things. But humans and lemurs and fire ants and humpback whales and blue-footed boobies and water buffaloes and Brussels sprouts and labradoodles all have something that screws and screwdrivers don't have. We have life, and life is inexact. Life is inexact because life does not have a singularity of purpose. Life has indeterminate meaning. We do not simply exist to fasten things. We exist to pollinate, congregate, migrate, hibernate, consummate, germinate. Isn't it great? It's great. To be alive is to be unpredictable. For a living thing, purpose is not a single preordained thing, like fastening two boards together. Every time we take a living thing and limit its nature to a singular purpose, we oppress it. We do this a lot. From chickens. Is chicken a bird or a dinner? To movie stars. Is Marilyn Monroe a person or a sex symbol? When we define a living thing according to our needs or our desires, we deprive it of its greatest joy, its discovery of self. A living thing does not have a singular purpose. A living thing discovers its purpose. That's what life is for, discovering purpose. And for this reason, religion is not something that I can hold in my hand. Religion is not, or rather I believe it should not be, an object manufactured to standardized specifications. Wielding religion as a tool is a perilous thing indeed. When, in the course of human history, religion has been used as a tool to achieve a singular purpose, things swiftly and tragically go wrong. I am thinking of the ministers in this country who quoted the Apostle Paul to justify the institution of slavery. Or I'm thinking of the Emperor of Japan who proclaimed that he was divine and started an imperialist war of aggression. I'm thinking of the 9/11 hijackers who believed that their actions guaranteed them a place in paradise. Crusade and pogrom, ethnic cleansing, terrorism, imperialist aggression. Throughout history, religion has repeatedly been cited as the justification for the most horrific acts of violence. You may not be able to hold religion in your hand, but that does not stop it from being a terrible force. One can make the argument that the two things that I asked you to consider this morning, religion and the Phillips head screwdriver, are the two most powerful forces in human history. We've grabbed onto tools with all their standardized specifications, and we made bridges and airplanes and skyscrapers and highways and hospitals and nuclear weapons. The edifice of human civilization in the palm of my hand. And with religion, we've developed the strains and habits of belief, beliefs that have been a powerful force of both peril and compassion, strife and grace, war and peace. I had a little bit of trouble reading that Sam Harris reading this morning. I don't like reading readings like that in church. Harris is famous for being one of the most strident of the new atheists. And he proclaims in no uncertain terms that religious is an outright affront to what we know of the world, because it stubbornly refuses to be discoverable now. He thinks religious people have an overwrought fidelity to doctrine, for no other reason than it is doctrine. Religion, he says, should be a matter of present inquiry, and if it cannot rise to this challenge, it should get out of the way. Well, I like this challenge, and I agree with the sentiment, but as you can imagine, I'm not keen on the idea of getting rid of religion altogether. I agree with the notion that religion must be made relevant to the world that we live in. It must be now. The religions of the world ought to stand up to this challenge. However, I do have some problems with what Harris says. I think he misses the point when he assumes that religion has an ambition of being a genuine sphere of human understanding. We do not understand religion. Religion, to me, is not a genuine sphere of human understanding. Religion is a genuine sphere of divine mystery. The relevance of religion starts from the improbable assumption that there is a fundamental unknown at the core of our experience of being human. This mystery remains outside of understanding. It cannot be isolated in a test tube or scrutinized under a microscope. To understand something is to limit it. And this is why our scriptures, the Bible, can be so peculiar. Jesus teaches us that God is the source of love, and yet in Psalm 22, we get a very different story. My God, why have you forsaken me? I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but find no rest. Why? Why, these words were even the words that Jesus himself spoke on the cross. How odd. But we cannot limit mystery. And so this mystery is both the trusted deliverer of Israel and the God who does not answer. We cannot define God because God does not come manufactured to standardized specifications. How then can we make religion relevant to the world that we live in? Does something have to be data to be relevant? Do we have to be able to prod it and poke it and dissect it in order to find it relevant? Mystery is relevant because it is at the heart of the experience of beauty. Mystery gives us the power of poetry and of music and of prayer. Mystery is relevant because it is at the heart of the way that we love each other. Did you make a spreadsheet when you fell in love? No. Was logical, empirical calculation anywhere nearby when you held your child in your arms for the first time? No. This is mystery, relevant mystery. We love and we are humbled before mystery. And our faith in God starts from this humility. Amen.